What exactly is a beacon community?
Well, you know, all across the country, what we're hearing from Americans is that we can't get things done, that we can't find a way to come together to address what really matters to people, that we can't figure out how to make a difference, for instance, in the lives of families and children. And so what a beacon community is an effort to build the kinds of leaders and organizations and relationships and trust that enable a community to come together, to focus on what matters to people, to marshal their resources, to build the kind of public will we need to get things done. And, Andy, to restore our belief that we can actually come together and make a difference in on those things that matter to us in our communities.
How did Battle Creek get selected to be the first beacon community?
Well, we're really excited about Battle Creek being the Institute's first beacon community. You know, we've been working in Battle Creek with a group of partners there for about 2 or 3 years now. And as they were doing their work and producing a lot of good results, there was a pull from the community to say, hey, can we spread this approach, this way of doing things across the entire community and tackle some larger issues that we think we need to begin to tackle, that we believe we're ready to tackle. And so with the support of the Kellogg Foundation, with the good partnership of the United Way of the Battle Creek and Kalamazoo region and other partners in the community, in fact, Battle Creek selected the Institute in many respects to be the first beacon community.
The first step in becoming a beacon community is, as they put it, creating a critical mass of public innovators and boundary-spanning organizations that work together to drive change in the community. What exactly is meant by public innovators and boundary-spanning organizations?
Well, I'll take a quick crack at this and then let Chris jump in. You know, the Institute, the Harvard Institute, has been working a long time about what are the kinds of individuals that lead change in communities and, you know, what we call public innovators. And they don't necessarily have an official title. It could be a neighborhood leader. It could be a mayor of a community. It could be head of a United Way. It could be head of a faith-based organization and lots of other groups. But what we do know when we look across the country at the folks who are creating change is that they share certain common characteristics. These public innovators have a sense of ideals about the fact that our communities can be different and that we should strive for our aspirations in making them different. Second, they believe that ideals alone aren't enough, that we need to be really practical about what's it really going to take on the ground in our local communities to create the kind of change that we want. And third, these public innovators have a sense of what does it mean to take, in a sense, calculated risks, to put yourself out there, to try to reach across dividing lines, to try to bring people together, that oftentimes we are separated from one another, isolated, fighting turf battles, looking to get credit for our own work and for ourselves. And so these public innovators are the ones who become both the official and unofficial leaders in communities. And what we're hoping to do in Battle Creek is to find those public innovators who already exist, to identify those public innovators who want to step forward, and to help them accelerate and deepen the good work that they're doing.
This is Chris. I would add to that. I think we have been really fortunate with this partnership with the Harwood Institute in Battle Creek over the last really few years and beyond to really see the success of working with people in the community across multiple sectors. So I think when we talk about creating a critical mass, one thing that we recognize is in a piloted way, we've done some of this work already locally around early childhood education and early grade reading. We've done it with specific communities, including the Burmese community that were coming to Battle Creek. And the success that we had there in this approach, really bringing multiple sectors together, so government, nonprofit, public, for-profit, faith-based, has shown us that at a time where sometimes change in a community around social issues can be very challenging, that when we all come together and work together and do things with people versus to people, that we have great success. And so when we looked at the way to accelerate that in this community, we already had a great partner in the Harwood Institute to really be able to help us do that. And I think when we talk about building public innovators, as Rich mentioned, it's the idea of the fact that all of us in this work take this very personal. It's personal to us. and it's personal to the people that we work with every day in the lives of their families and their children. And so when we come together, making sure that what we're doing is about helping and serving people and doing it together, that's really the approach that will make us more successful in the future.
This sounds like it ought to just be happening, right? That somehow or another people ought to be able to come together and work for the common good, not just their own good. But the fact is, in communities across the country, it's not happening. You know, we've got organizations fighting one another. We've got people looking out for themselves and not enough for their neighbors and for their community. We aren't necessarily focused on what matters most to people. We tend to create programs that may or may not address really what's at issue in the community and that can really produce the kinds of results that people are looking for to improve their lives and the lives of their families and their neighbors and their community. And so much of what we need to do is not simply, you know, get everyone in the same room and say, you know, if we can only get everyone around the same table, everything will work out. It's that we literally need to change some of the ways we get things done in our communities if we're going to create the kinds of impact in lives that people are really looking for nowadays.
One of the stated goals of the Beacon Community Program is to, as is put on the webpage, create a new civic culture that encourages both action and sustainability of that action. So how is that going to be accomplished in Battle Creek?
This is Chris. One of the things that I think that this really is about, this changes the way we work together. So the goal of this over the next 3 years in particular, but then beyond from there, is to create new norms and values in our community about how people come together, how we come together using both expert and public knowledge equally, to really both understand fully the challenges and the social issues that we're trying to address. And even as important as that, but also then how do we work together once we understand those issues to really address what's going on in a community and to make positive change. You know, the example I would give around our early grade reading achievement that's been piloted in this community is when we came and talked to parents and teachers and administrators and the community, we heard one resounding thing, and that was that people had high aspirations for the success of education of their children. When we better understood that, what we found was, is when we brought everybody together with those aspirations, it was easy to figure out, not easy in the sense of we could just make it happen tomorrow, but easy in the sense that everybody was willing to contribute in some way. So parents started to understand how they could be more impactful in their the lives of their children's education. Teachers started developing relationships with those parents that were focused on the positive, productive elements of what we were trying to accomplish together. And the community started coming out and saying, how can we volunteer and help out and also be contributing members of this success? And early on, what we're seeing is we're seeing dramatic increases in reading achievement scores of our kindergarten and first graders in a couple of schools. So that's, to me, the examples are as important in the way that we do the work. But when nobody, to Rich's point, was worried about taking credit, when nobody was worried about making sure their logos were on the page that talked about this work, when instead what they cared about is Allison and Johnny and the kids in the classroom and making sure that they were achieving and reading at grade level, that's when we started to see the results. And so we know this will be sustainable because it'll show success. We also know that people are yearning for this kind of activity and work coming together.
The third step in the Beacon community is to make tangible progress on a community issue. So perhaps you could talk about what that issue is going to be in Battle Creek over the next 3 years and what's going to be, how that's going to be approached.
One of the things that when we think about what is the issue, we're just getting started. And so this week is the launch of the 3-day immersion of over 100 people in this community coming together to better understand what we're talking about in terms of changing the norms and the culture of our community. But I think one of the principles of the Harwood Institute is the idea that we don't prescribe what the issue is. So we don't self-select, but instead we turn outward to the community and we ask the community, so what do you feel is one of the most important issues or issues, because typically it's very complex. It's not just one issue. Issues that we should tackle, that we should work on, and do it together. And I think that foundation, that fundamental principle of turning outward to the community and really understanding what the community is looking for and how they're willing to participate and to take action collectively around this is really important. So we don't have any set issues that we've developed. Again, if it impacts families and vulnerable children, that's what matters most to us. So we're going to let the community work with us, and together we'll decide what those issues are moving forward.
Rich, do you hope from the Institute's point of view that the project as it unfolds in Battle Creek will perhaps provide some guidance to applying this approach to other communities?
Absolutely. I'm really glad you asked that question, Andy. I think one of the reasons why we're so excited about the Battle Creek work is because we believe there's, I believe deeply there's a need for more proof points in the country that people can actually come together and restore their belief that we can get things done. And so what we're hoping is that we can hold up Battle Creek, not just in Battle Creek itself and in the region, but also in the state of Michigan, but also across the country, that, look, here's a proof point about what it looks like when a community actually comes together and changes, as Chris was saying, changes the, not only what they do, but how they do it. And then the second thing we're hoping to be able to learn, frankly, as we work with Battle Creek, is what are the ways in which you can accelerate other communities' ability to do this work, and so that this approach can spread to other communities across the country.
A few years ago, there was a book published entitled Bowling Alone, and the upshot of that book was that Americans are largely turning away from civic engagement. They don't join clubs anymore. Increasingly, they don't get involved really in their communities. So at root is this project, the Beacon Communities Project, is one of its goals to try and reverse that trend.
You know, I know Robert Putnam, who wrote that book, and it was a terrific book. I think people, as he suggested, were turning away. But I think there's another piece to this, which is, as we've traveled the country, people are really yearning to come back into community life. There's a sense in the country right now that we've gone it alone long enough that to create the kind of families and neighborhoods and communities and country, frankly, that we need, that people are going to need to come back together and figure out how we're going to move ahead together, how we're all pulling in the same direction. And so I think what this Beacon community is not simply to reverse something. I think it's actually, in a sense, to tap into the kind of energy and yearning that Americans have that they want to express, but they can't find ways, practical ways, back into community life to express it in ways that they believe will really make a difference, that will really change the direction of their community and their own lives, that will, as Chris has said a number of times, that will help to shift the civic culture of their community. And I think what the Beacon community in Battle Creek is all about is saying, we can actually come together and figure out how to do this and do it in a way that is not just a one-off project or something we announce and then 3 months later sort of disappears, or that somehow we just start some new programs, but the programs don't really change really how we experience our community and what's happening there. What the Battle Creek Beacon community is all about is actually saying we can tap into this deep yearning that Americans have. We can literally change the way our communities operate. We can demonstrate within Battle Creek, within Michigan, within the rest of the country, that it's actually possible for Americans to still do this kind of work together.
This is Chris. One of the things that I would share with you is over the last few years, as we worked with the Harwood Institute, they focus a lot on appropriately, so where is our community at? And they call it the stages of community. And one of the things that we know is Battle Creek is ripe for this right now. We have a number of people, loosely held groups, boundary-spanning organizations that are really ready for coming together, working together, and participating and engaging in different ways, not just formal groups, not just positional leaders, because I think sometimes we have a tendency to think that, you know, we'll wait for somebody else to take the lead. But in our community right now, there is this strong sense as we talk to people that people are ready to step up. They just need the way in which they can participate and engage openly to be able to be created. And so part of this work is making sure that we're going to create those intentional spaces where we're going to make sure that people have the ability to participate, and it doesn't matter where you come from or who you are. It matters that you're willing to take a lead in your own right and to take action with everybody else.
The community leaders are being gathered this week to talk about this process. Once that has been accomplished, people probably would like to know how is the community going to be invited to be involved in this. So perhaps we could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things that we plan to do from this week's activity, so this week really kind of kicks us off and launches this effort, is to then go out into community and have conversations where we'll talk about people's aspirations and get a better understanding of what matters most to people and what they're willing to take a role in and to create action. So we'll have those conversations. We'll get an idea of the areas that folks want to work on and come together around. And then from there, we'll start building opportunities for people to then take that work to balance that with both what we know from the public as well as what we know could be potential best practices and the action that may have already started, and really bring those three components together to then drive the change in the next steps around, so what are we going to do and how are we going to do it? And most importantly, I think one of the things that sometimes we have a tendency to do is we get this great big idea and we bring a lot of resources and people together, and it starts off really strong, and then after a few months, it's become flavor of the week or month, and it goes away. Our goal is to make sure that we have the support as well as the energy to keep it going and to really be accountable both to the people who are participating, but also the community at large, to be able to say, this is the action that we're taking, and these are the results that it's having. We all know what gets measured gets done, and so making sure that we're tracking that progress along the way and being very transparent and accountable to the community so that we can all hold ourselves to a higher standard.
This is Rich. I think this goes back, Andy, to this notion of why are we spending so much time helping to develop public innovators and these what you call boundary-spanning organizations. Part of this work is actually helping to make sure that there are enough organizations in the community that are doing work in this new way, and that there are enough public innovators who can help lead the work in this new way. And to Chris's point, I think this becomes really important. You know, a lot of these initiatives, as Chris said, start off with a big bang and fizzle out. You know, we sort of have the press conference, the press releases, the new stationery with new logos on it, and everyone sort of lines up and says, we're behind this. You know, we're almost taking the exact opposite approach, and it's something that the Institute's learned over its 25 years. It's better to start out a little more slowly, a little more intentional. It's important to make sure that we've got groups, organizations in the community that have stepped forward to say that they want to do business differently, that we've got these 100 leaders coming to the Public Innovators Lab, that, as Chris said, you know, we'll go out and engage people in the community to figure out what issues are most important to them. But what we know from this work is that it will build over time because we're laying the right foundation, because we're taking the time to help develop more leaders and to develop these organizations that want to really be the engines and homes for this work in the community over time. And I think that's what will lend itself to success in Battle Creek. And I think that's frankly one of the things that's different about this effort than a lot of other efforts that come to communities and start off with a big bang, but then unfortunately fizzle out.
I think one of the things that I would add, Andy, this is Chris, is just how excited we are about this. We've just really had the pleasure to work with a great organization, the Harwood Institute, to really apply what Rich has been talking about and change the way in which, you know, in particular, United Way and some of our partners do business. And what's exciting about that is we've seen really positive results as we've done that. We become more relevant to the community that we serve. They appreciate the fact that we're creating opportunities for them to be engaged. We know that, for example, in the work that we do, that funding of organizations and nonprofits and programs is critical, but we also know that's not the solution, that it takes more than just financial resources. It takes people being deeply engaged and committed to the positive outcomes that we're trying to create in community that ultimately will change the conditions in our community.